You make yourself at home, preacher. We're glad you're here. Yes, sir.
Thank you. You want me to sing?
It's a joy to be here. I appreciate this invitation. I appreciate your pastor here. I've known Brother Terry since he was a kid. I remember when he came to Washington, Iowa. He stayed with Larry Branham for how many years? Boy, I tell you, you got the grace of God if you hang around with Larry that long. That's it. Larry was my first assistant pastor for 7.5 years. Then he went to Iowa and started that church. And I was out there, when was I out there? Last week. He had a tremendous crowd of young people. His son, you know, is pastoring now. And we had really had a good meeting. And I count an honor to be here. I mean that, an honor. We don't have the crowd we had last night. But, you know, when you get the hypocrites out, you have a better time anyway, can't you? So, amen. Amen. And what a joy. And I appreciate Brother Dennis Coyle and the good work he's doing. And, boy, he put some real good preachers in his paper. Did you notice that? He had my picture in there a while back. And so on. And then Darrell Cox is my boy. And you want to hear Darrell tonight. He's a man of God sitting right back here. And he's one of the most working pastors I've ever seen. He visits hospitals everywhere. He's got members scattered everywhere. And this, I mean, all the time and going and so on. And I want to say again, thank you, Brother Corlin. Thank you, Brother Terry, for letting me come. It's a real joy. I found me a couple scriptures. And turn to Proverbs 23 and Hebrews 12. Proverbs 23, Hebrews 12. I remember back younger, you know, I've been trying to preach since I was a kid, I guess. 63 years this past September. God's been good. I was saved in 1948. And 1 month later, I was engaged. My wife and I got married. She was a Methodist. We got married in a Methodist church. And then the first thing you know, I got a call to church and on like that through the years. I wish you could be with me today. Last night, Brother Green was talking about this. Married 65 years, I believe. And my wife and I got married in November the 20th, 1948. And I got saved October the 24th, 1 month before that. And God's been good. And I praise Him. And I have a wonderful wife. We pray for her. Her health's not good. But God's blessed us. We have 4 children. 10 grandchildren. Wait a minute, I'm not through. We got 24 great-grandchildren. One of my little great-grandsons come in the other day. And he's 4 years old. He's 5 now. He had a birthday. He said, Papa, he said, I that many now. And I'm going to have a birthday. And I'll be a whole hand, Papa. I enjoy my family. God is so good. And I enjoy my church, too. And I really appreciate this. You know, I was thinking years ago, Dr. Howells and you know, him and Dr. Rice preached together many years. And they didn't keep them in the same room, but for some reason this motel was full. And so Dr. Howells stayed in the room with Dr. Rice one night. He said, I come in, he's sitting on the side of the bed flipping in his Bible. He said, preacher, are you having a problem? Dr. Rice said, yeah, a little bit. He said, I got me a sermon. I'm trying to find some scripture to go with it. I want to talk to you this morning about some looks God placed upon my heart that if we will look, that I believe we can have a victorious life. But over here in Proverbs 23, look at that verse 26. Now, you just look at it and think. Proverbs 23, verse 26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes obey my ways. You notice that? He said, give me your heart. He must have control of our heart before he'll ever have control of our eyes. And notice that verse. And he said, and let thine eyes observe my ways, God's ways. Now over here in Hebrews chapter 12, we know that the 11th chapter, we call it the chapter of faith. These great heroes had been on with the Lord, and he mentioned Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and so on. Now, because of that, in verse 1 and 2 of the 12th chapter, he said, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Now, he didn't say every weight was sin, did he? But there is weights that we need to get rid of. Every time I read that, I can't help but think of a fellow named Carl LeFoon. Carl got saved. He must have been up in his 50s. He was a fox hunter. Now, you city folks don't know what that is. But anyway, it didn't make no sense to me to go out there and sit at midnight and listen to a bunch of dogs hollering. But anyway, he was a fox hunter. And he had some dogs. And he got started prayer meeting, and then he quit prayer meeting on Wednesday night. And then he come back, he and Ms. LeFoon, and he said, preacher, he said, these fellows that always went fox hunting, they come to my place because I had the dogs. And they got to come on Wednesday night. And he said, I was bothered. I just didn't have the courage to tell them I couldn't go. And I found myself going fox hunting on Wednesday night when I ought to go to church. And he was serious about it. And he said, you know, I thought I had to do something. And so I just took my dogs out in the woods and shot them, killed them. And he said, now I tell them I don't have no dogs. Well, that's a pretty bad way to do, looks like. But it was weights for him, at least when he got rid of his weights. And, you know, there can be a lot of things in our life. We're living in a day when so much emphasis is put on, of course, athletics, you know, ball, and all that. And I'm not against it. But sometimes a preacher can get so involved, and I feel sorry for you if you have to play golf. Everybody in our church plays golf, I think. I have a man who owns a golf course. He told me years ago, any time, preacher, it'll cost you a dime. And they told me that because, you know, I don't care about golf. I think it got on my nerves. Old Bobby Grubbs. Any of you ever remember Bobby Grubbs? The old Bobby was playing. He and I were playing. That's the last time I played. Bobby is with the Lord now. He was riding the cart. He couldn't see good. He had diabetes real bad. He'd hit that ball and go out yonder, and he's supposed to go this way. And I was running the balls and wind and broom seed and everything else. We was playing, I believe it was 18 holes he played. We got up about 9, and I was running there, and then I'd shoot. And he said, are you enjoying this stuff? I said, not at all. He said, me either. Get on this cart. Let's go. And we turned that thing in. But I got members of it. But what I said, started to say, when he said, lay aside every weight, you know, I have to watch. I can get involved. And we're in electronic age today. And let me say that I'm not against it all. Some of it I am. But anyway, what I started to say, we can get so involved in that until it becomes a weight and we're not in the book. Now let me read on here. He said we're compassed about, and because that lets aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let's run with patience the race that is set before us. Notice these words, looking unto Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down now to write at the throne of God. Let's have prayer. Lord, help me to be a blessing. Lord, help me in the Scriptures to get across the Word. We know it never returns void. You said so many times in the Bible, he that hath ears, let him hear. So open our hearts and let me say what I ought to say to glorify Christ, to encourage your people. Continue to bless this good church, and Terry and Brother Dennis. God bless him and all the work, and the other preachers will preach. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I want to talk to you about five ways, I believe, if you and I look regularly, we can have a victorious Christian life. You know, there's power in look. You think about Eve. You remember when Satan tempted her? He said, that's not bad. And when she looked, then she lusted. And on down the line. We know about David's sin. David up on the housetop. First, he's out of the will of God. He's supposed to have been out in the battle that day. But if you remember, he looked, and look what a mess he got him in. And you know, I believe it was Job said in Job 31, he said, I've made a covenant with mine eyes. And folks, we've got to do that. That preaching was good, all of it. But God really spoke to me through Brother Green last night in that last part. So easy and I believe one reason so many homes are breaking up today in our churches because they're looking at the wrong things. And when we look, then the first thing you know, we lust. That's what happened to Eve. We know that. And David said in Psalm 101, he learned his lesson. Listen to what he said in verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And, you know, he says, abstain from the appearance of all evil. So on. So I'm just saying, there is victory in looking at the right way, and there's defeat if we look at the wrong way. Now, I want to say, number one, is keep our eyes on the Savior. Look unto Jesus. You know, every time that we get hurt a little bit, somebody criticizes or something, if we don't keep our eyes on the Savior, we'll get bitter and backslid. But when you think about what He done through for us, and when we got our eyes on Him, then we'll think about all the persecutions He went through. And that'll encourage us. And we need to constantly take a look by faith at Jesus every day. For salvation, if you're lost tonight, you need to be born again. Or today, you need to be born again. And Jesus told Nicodemus there, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, you see. And we know the story there in Numbers. And when that brazen serpent was a type of the very thing that was biting them and is dying, made out of brass which stood for judgment. Jesus Christ came into this world and took upon Him a body likened to mine and yours. He knew no sin, but He became sin for us. And Jesus is telling Nicodemus that story in the Old Testament, and that's the way you're born again, is looking unto Jesus, and then you'll get saved. Amen. Then, you know, I put down some things like Charles Spurgeon. You remember about his conversion? One day, I think it was a bad day on a Sunday. Anyway, he went in. The pastor couldn't be there. Maybe it was a little Methodist church. I'm not for sure. And just a few people there. He couldn't make it that Sunday. Such a bad weather. And that layman got up and read from Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me, he said, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, because I'm God and there's none else. And he got saved then. So I'm just saying, look unto Jesus. Keep our eyes on the Savior. And if we stay in love with Him, that means a whole lot. Now, I've been married 65 years. I was 5 when I got married. 65 years. And the way I can stay in love with my dear wife is to think how much she does for me. How much she does for me. And you and I can stay in love with Jesus when we get wrapped up of how much He loves us. And folks, I've seen old preachers. I was a young preacher, and I used to attend conferences. I heard Bob Jones Sr. preach several times. Dr. Rice preached for me. Bob Jones preached one time, by the way. I'm about 200 miles from where he was at. But I hadn't been saved long. I guess it's got to be 61 or 2 or 3 years ago. And Dr. Bob Sr., Dr. Lee Robertson, And I believe it was Jack Hiles. They was going to be in a meeting there together at the old Urban Street Baptist Church in Winston-Salem. And I went over there as just a young Christian. And I thought, Bob Jones, I've heard of that. He's one of them educators. Yeah, you know, I thought to myself, well, he'll be dead and dry, you know. And I just went. Well, I'll never forget when he got up to preach. He prayed. And he was thinking, this is where he started off, his prayer. I didn't think you could ever see Jesus, but I'm going to tell you, it got surreal until I peeped to see if I could see Jesus. He prayed something like this: "Dear Jesus, I appreciate you coming down here this old world, dying for a little old South Alabama boy like me. I thank you for giving me faith, for sending the Holy Spirit to show me as a sinner. And I thank you for giving me faith to trust you as my Savior." Now, he started off like that. And then he went on and he said, "You're so sweet and good." He said, "You put so many stars out there, I've never been able to count them all." And then he said, "That beautiful moon, that sun." And he went on. And honestly, do you know what he said right before he got through praying? He said, "By faith, I just want to put my arms around your neck and tell how much I love you." Amen. It's just all preaching. I realized right there is the very touch. A man like that, he never lost a glimpse of the Savior. And I'm just saying it's important we'll stay in love with him. Dr. Lee Robertson, I've heard him tell this different times, some of you. One day a lady came to his office. She had a little girl, and she said, "Preacher," she said, "my home's broken up. I had, I don't know, 2 or 3 or 4 children. I can't raise them. And I've given the others away, and this little girl, would you take her and do something?" Dr. Robertson said it touched his heart. He had a little daughter, 3 or 4 years old at that time, one of his kids. He said, "I started talking about the little toys we had at our house, the little sister like it she'd have. And it looked like the little girl just brightened up. 4 or 5, he told her age. And I was telling her all the toys she could play with. And said, if you'll just come be with me." And he said that little girl, and all at once she turned and she put her little arms around her mother's legs and looked up and said, "Mother, I love you. I want to go with you." And he said that happened a day, a time or two. And Dr. Robertson said, "I give that woman a real talking. And I said, you need to go. This is your child. And you need to, her. God will help you raise her." And I sent her away. But you know, when I heard him tell that, I thought, what made that little girl turn away from all those things is because she loved her mother. And let me tell you, if we'll fall in love with Jesus and keep your eyes upon him, the world's always out there, but it won't attract you if you keep your eyes upon him. We had back 100 years ago, Dr. Hyman Alpham in the Weeks Revival. Dr. Alpham, you know, was a Jew. His people disowned him when he got saved. He told me this story. He said, "I was preaching somewhere, and my daddy came. He didn't come to hear me preach. He came to talk to me. And he said, he told me, he said, 'Hyman, if you don't leave this religion you're in and come back home, you're going to put your mother in the grave. She's grieved over you, and you've got to do it.'" Well, Dr. Hyman Appleman said, "I got to thinking about that sweet mother that rocked me when I didn't know I was in the world. You know, you ladies have babies. You know what I'm talking about. You have to be up 12, 1, 2 o'clock. It's sick." He said, "I got to thinking about all of that in my mother's rocking." Old Dr. Hyman Appleman said, "But I got a glimpse on the other side of her chair," she said, "I got a glimpse of an old rugged cross. I got a glimpse of praise anew of the Savior." He said, "Dad, you don't understand it. I love my mother. I don't want to put her in the grave. But you don't understand it. You don't believe it. But there's one on an old rugged cross to keep me out of hell. Dad, I have to tell you, that love of Christ constrains me. And I got to keep going." My friend, keep your eyes on the Savior. On the Savior. Don't get your eyes on troubles. Don't get your eyes on this world. Keep them on the Savior. Then I put down this second thing right here. Look at the Savior. And then we need to look at ourselves regularly. Boy, it's easy for me to see your problems. That's right. But to see my problems. I'm not going to turn to these scriptures, but you remember Matthew chapter 7? Where Jesus said, this fellow's going to get the little beam out of his brother's eye, the little mote out of his brother's eye. But Jesus said, first of all, get the sawlog out of your own eye. and you can help him. Now, we need to take a look at self every day of our life. The world, the flesh, and the devil is our enemies. And we need to look at ourselves and see if where we stand. That's what I'm talking about. You know, we pastor very long. You're going to get some heartaches and battles. And somebody come up all at once. Back yonder, I had a heart attack when I was 29. I'd been preaching. I came to Gospel Light and I was 24. And I'd seen nothing but blessings. Our church, I believe we had 153 my first Sunday. We were no bus ministry. We was running 500 and 600. And I was running all over the country preaching. I'd drive 100 miles somewhere and preach and come back that night and run all day for the church and on and on. I'd preach for 6 solid weeks. And I had a heart attack one Sunday morning. But before that, or after that, I'd lost a lot of weight, got nauseated, couldn't stand the pulpit. It's easy to miss the will of God. And Dr. Seitler was in our area. If you ever come to Gospel Light, we have now in this building, we have a small auditorium downstairs called Harold B. Seitler Auditorium. He was preaching somewhere around Winston-Salem, and I talked to him. And I said, Doc, I said, it looks like it. I'm going to have to quit. I said, I can't stand on Sunday to get that pulpit. I stay nauseated. I was weighing 212 when I got sick. I got down 143, I believe, because I couldn't stand food and all of that. And in the midst of all that trouble, I had a church split when I come back. This crowd was mad at this crowd. And it was a mess. My Sunday school superintendent walked up to me one Sunday after church and said, Preacher, I don't mean to hurt you, but you look like a corpse. And look like you ought to know God's through with you. And you ought to resign, leave this place, and walk off. Boy, I tell you, I thought if I could get hold of that man. And the first thing I knew, I had bitterness in my heart. I got to look at myself. God helped me to realize that. And I got to feeling sorry for him because the devil got a hold of him and put that in. And I said, he could have done that to me. So I got to feeling sorry and I got joy in my heart again. I'm just saying, we got to watch these things. We get that, you know, that old root of bitterness will spring up in us. It'll happen to us preachers, pastors all over the country. And we need to take a look at ourselves every day. Now, I'm not going to tell you, man, I've had blessings more than trouble. But I've had people walk up to me, some man a while back, and said, you know how old you are? Well, I do. I led him to Christ. I led this man to Christ 40-some years ago in his home. He used to write and tell me how I appreciate him and knocking on his door. But then he walks up and he says, I don't mean to hurt you, but you ought to get somebody to, you're old, and you ought to get somebody to take your place. And a lot of these people just won't follow an older person and all of that. And I'm leaving the church. That's 2 or 3 years ago, and he's still there. But I'm just saying, I got to thinking, and Ed says there, and I said, Lord, don't let me get bitter about that thing. Lord, help me, Lord, forgive me. If I was dead to self, I wouldn't be feeling like that. Let me tell you this, I've told this all over the country. Brother Roloff used to come to our place. You ever need to sing Lester Roloff? He's always happy. He spent time in Corpus in jail because he wouldn't take a license, if you remember, to run the homes. One day he was riding along in my car, and he had a sense of humor, and I have too much. I cracked something crazy to him. You ever say anything to anybody and you think later, I shouldn't have said that? Well, now, let me tell you, whatever it was, I said, Brother Roloff, what I said to you a while ago, I want to apologize. I'm sorry. I wouldn't hurt you for anything in the world. That little old feller, he weighed, 125 pounds, I guess. He looked over at me, Brother Dennis, seriously, and he said, Brother Bobby, if you hurt me, it's not your fault, it's my fault. because I'm supposed to be dead to self, and you can't hurt something dead. That's went with me through the years. Every time I get roused up at something gospel-like, and I want to, and the Holy Spirit say, if he's dead, it wouldn't hurt you. It wouldn't hurt you. If you ever heard Dr. Lee Robertson preach, he's not related to me, but it'd been all right. He'd preach on dying to self all the time. Now, I'm just saying we need to look at ourselves and see if we're dead. So, you know, I think of Nehemiah. Here he is, I believe, one of the best men down there in Babylon. And Hannah and I, you know, came, and he asked him how things were up the ruins of Jerusalem. He told him. And he sat down and wept and prayed before the God of heaven. And Nehemiah chapter 1, he said, both we, I have sinned. He put himself in that. You see? And I'm just saying that we need to do that. If we don't, we'll not keep going for God. I know a lot of preachers. I know some fellas. One told me a while back, I said, are you pastor now? No, I never intend to pastor again. I could feel the cold. He got hurt in his church. Folks, I'm just trying to say this. Look at the Savior, but look at old Bob every day. Are we praying like we one time did? Are we studying like we one time did? Do we love people like we one time did? You know what we need to do when you pastors get somebody? Bless God, just love the devil out of them. You know what the Bible said? Don't be overcome with evil, overcome it with good. And if a man's hungry, give him something to eat. If he's water, if he's thirsty, give him water. And in doing this, you'll keep holes of fire. We got to keep the joy of the Lord. That's our strength. But if we don't look at self, well, I could go on this point here, but listen. Listen. You remember in the year that old King Uzziah died? And Isaiah, what? He seen the Lord. And brother, he started repenting. I have sinned. Both I and these people have sinned. I said a lot of times, if we at Gospel Light Baptist Church would face the fact and quit trying to find a sin on that man and sin on this man and think about our own self, and you too, and if you get cold services, and you have cold services, don't try to be honest. I quote Dr. Harold Sightman. He preached 28 times for me. You know, he's about 200 miles from me. Old Doc was preaching one day. He said, a deep voice. He said, well, I heard a young man preaching the other day, and he said, if somebody don't come down the aisle every service, I'll die. Old Doc said, God help him. He won't live long. I never forget that. Yeah, it's easier when it's glory, but it's not glory all the time. That's what I'm saying. And we've got to die to ourselves. And if I, listen, there's nobody can keep the joy of the Lord out of my heart but Bobby Robertson. That's right. But Bobby Robertson. So let's do that. Let's look to the Savior. And then every day, let's keep looking at ourselves. Bitterness, jealousy, envy, hateful, all that stuff. Man, us Southern Baptist preachers, good night. I don't know why I get, if you're going to bless one out, don't send me a copy of it. I'm thinking now, this happened like 2 years ago, a fellow out west, he was writing, a fellow out close to me, and would send me a copy. And in a little while, I'd get a copy of that fellow, and he was talking to him. I never seen such an argument in my life. And it was about repentance, and they both believed it. And one day after getting a copy of the letter 3 or 4 times, I said, Lord, them guys as ignorant as I am. They both believe the same thing. But they hadn't got enough sense to know it. Oh, listen, let me say the third thing. Now, remember this. Look always at the Savior. Then always look around old self. And then, after that, look at the sinner. Look at the sinner. And you know what the Bible says in Proverbs 29:8, without a vision, men perish. You remember when Jesus sent out his disciples going to buy something to eat? He met the woman at the well in John chapter 4. And she got saved. If you remember, they brought that food back. And Jesus said, I eat meat you know not of. They thought, who brought him something before us? He said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And then he says this in that verse 35. Listen. Jesus said to his disciples, don't say yet there's 4 months to harvest, but what? Look, raise your eyes up, and look out y'all on the fields, and see they're white with harvest all the time. And that's true. Oh, when we lose the glimpse of the lost man, I'm talking about realizing he's lost, we'll quit witnessing, my friend. We need to realize everybody that I see and you see is going to heaven or hell one. And we know the way. And we better look at that poor sinner and let him know that we want him saved. I appreciate people's got a burden for souls. We've been supporting a man in North Dakota, I guess, 20 years. I preached for him out there one time. He's probably got 30, 35 people. And he just keeps battling. He said some time ago, he wrote me and said, Brother Bobby, he said, I can't do much with these Indian people there. I forgot, seemed like in the last 6 months, 33 or 34 of them had committed, not suicide, but had killed each other. And he said to the little kids, and all, he said, look, can't do much there. But he said, I'm going to go out here back in my church, and I'm going to put me a slab of cement, and I'm going to put me up a place where I can get the young'uns in and have some outings. I can't get the old people saved, but I got to work at that. I like that. We sent him some money to help him on it. And he's still there. I guess he's been there 25, 30 years now. Because he's got a vision of the poor sinner that's on his road to hell. Let me tell you, folks, don't never get so deep that you forget that poor lost person. You know Psalm 120, he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, will no doubt he'll come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves. So we need a constant look at the sinner. That's what I'm talking about. Look at the sinner. I remember back under 47 or 8 years ago, we had a death in our church. Somebody died, in other words, that morning, on Sunday morning. I was going to their home to try to comfort them. Best I remember, 8 miles or so from the church. Before church, and then getting back to preach at 11. It was in the summertime. And about 3 or 4 miles from our church, let me say 10:30, sun is shining pretty. Here's a big mobile home park. I don't want to lose that vision, you call it what you please, or what God's dealt with me. But I just turned like that. And there must have been at least 30 or more little boys and girls at 10:30 on Sunday morning playing around one of those mobile homes. God, he didn't speak to him at all in the voice, but almost. Just like that, he said, Bobby, I want you to do something to get those little boys and girls to hear about Jesus or go to hell. Folks, that thing stayed with me. That's been 48 years ago, and I can still see him. And you know, when God is something, he'll put it together. Oh, let me say, 6 months later, I was preaching in Havity Grace, Maryland, about 40 miles out of Baltimore. Little church, I'd been there several times, had no bus ministry or anything. The pastor picked me up for lunch. I said, Roy, and I told him, I said, I can see those little boys and girls. Help me pray about it. He said, Brother Bobby, if you're interested in some old used school buses, we can keep going down this highway. About 10 miles, a fellow must have 200 of them out there, he sells them. I said, let's go. And we went out there. And I got out, I was like a kid over a new wagon, man. I started running around them old buses. I just hadn't planned mine getting one. And I looked at this and that, and it had 4 59 Fords. This is 1967 or 68. But it had a bunch of them, and I got in one of them things and the other one. And you know, I never have bought anything to pay a man the first price he asks for. That man said at that time, he said, if you want all 4 of them, I want $900 apiece, would be $3,600. But he said, if you want all 4 of them, you can have them for $3,500. And I said, well, can I Jew you down a little bit? And man, he cursed me. And he said, I don't care where you buy them. He was a Jew. And I apologized to him. But I came back to church and I got my deacons together. I got my deacons together, and I said, fellas, I told them the story. I said, I can see those little old boys and girls. They're going to hell if we don't get them. They said, let's get them buses. We brought it up to the church. And at that time, and they use Greensboro now, but it's Winston-Salem, Piedmont Airlines. I never drove a bus. We didn't have no money much. It cost $35 to fly from Winston-Salem to Baltimore. And another fella, he worked there, so he got to go free, and the church paid my way. And two fellas worked at Piedmont, so they got to go free. Four of us got on a plane there one Monday morning and flew up there, and that man came out about 40 miles apart. We went out there, and they worked them old buses and got them all lined up. About 4 o'clock on Monday afternoon, we started to North Carolina with them. They said, we're going to put you in the middle, preacher. We don't want to lose you. And we drove all night, got in there. I remember at 7 o'clock, we didn't have any pavement, and a lot of those buildings, we went there then. And we put those old buses down there on Tuesday morning, 7 o'clock, just down, you know, backed them up down in there close to the cemetery. And I throw out a word about how God has dealt. I didn't just take a whole message. After 2 or 3 weeks, a man named Bobby Willard, I wanted the Lord 45, I'd rather the Lord 50 some years ago, I guess. Here he come down the aisle, this way talk. An invitation. I said, Bobby, what you want? He also wanted the buses you've been talking about. That's the way he put it. We are 8 miles out of Winston-Salem. I said, where are you going with it? Over on the south side and get them youngins you talk about. I said, okay. That man's 75 now. I think he's got 5 stents. If I'm not mistaken, he had 66 Sunday on his bus. He's still at it. He said, I can't quit, preacher. I get out there and them little old boys and girls, nobody cares for them. And I got to go. And that bus minister, we got another old bus. And in 6 weeks, he brought 92 in. On that 48-page bus. He said, I can't keep going like this. I got to have another bus. So I got somebody to give him another bus. We'd buy an old bus here, an old bus there. I don't know how many we got. 40 buses, I think. And last Sunday, I believe 1,147 or 77 or something on the buses. And it's grown. Now, why'd I say all of that? Don't give me any credit. But God let me see the center. The center, that's what I'm talking about. And since then, we've got people out pastoring churches with little old boys that got saved. About 3 years ago, I got the sweetest letter. Our buses, I don't know exactly where all they go. 30 miles, 40, I don't know where they are. They're all everywhere around. And all volunteer work. We've never had a bus director. That's bad. We ought to have had one. They say I'm tight. You'd have to pay him. And about 10, 12 years ago, I said to my division, I had 4 division leaders, northeast, southwest, the old retired men, I meet with them. And I said, let's hire a bus director. And they said, if you do, we're quitting because you're our boss. And so I could see right then, about the first time, a director do something I didn't do, and there you are. That's not a good thing to do, but I'm still. In fact, I have one of the divisions, and it's still going. I love it. But let me go back to this point right here. About 3 years ago, I get a sweet letter. I got the letter home. I could almost quote it. It said, Dear Brother Bobby, I'm one of your little bus kids. I was raised in a sinful home. My father was an alcoholic. My mother was living a rough life. There was nothing but quarreling and fussing all the time. I was 8 years old. I didn't think I'd ever get out of this mess. And one Saturday morning, some people knocked on our door and said, do you have any children? It's not in Sunday school. We're from Gospel Light Baptist Church. And she's telling me this in a letter. And she said, my old drunken daddy said, I have a daughter she wants to go. And she said, I got saved. But this touches me every time I think of this. In her letter, she said, I'd get on that old yellow bus on Sunday morning. They'd come out on Saturday and visit me. I looked forward to that. I'd get on that old bus and said, Brother Bobby, I'd sit and look out that window and I'd say, somebody does love me, don't they? She said, I didn't think anybody ever loved me. But she said, somebody loves me. They love me. And in her letter, she said, I got saved there. You wouldn't know me, but she had her name in there. But she said, I'm now 28 years old. I'm married to a fine Christian man. We have three precious children of our own. God has called us as missionaries to Alaska. We've got our support and we're leaving. Please tell them to keep it up. There's a lot of them out there just like me. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, I love the bus ministry. More headaches, good night in the morning. More headaches. We got an old boy, we picked him up, and he's 7 or 8 years old. His daddy got mad and shot at the wheels of the bus one morning. He's a little retarded. But he's been coming, the little fellow he'd find him a tie or something, you know, and he'd get old dirty tie, and he always wanted to dress up. He'd tie a knot. He'd be hanging down between his legs. He's going all probably with a tie. Now he's 48, I think he said. And he sits on the front row every Sunday. And, Lord, he loves me. I was preaching up in the mountains about 2 or 3 years ago, and two nice-looking ladies come up to me. And they said, we're Billy's sisters. I said, what? Yes. Thank you for having time with him. He calls me every Sunday night. Every Sunday morning, he's always got a complaint. He'll sit down there and he says, preacher, I'm getting down and shaking hands. He says, preacher, what are we going to do about this now? We've got this problem. I said, we'll take care of it. He's always got a problem. Our church has got a balcony, you know. He said, preacher, I started shaking hands. He said, preacher, I said, just a minute. He said, there's something sitting up there talking. Well, he'll sit there, and he'll look up there, and he'll... That's the preacher there. Billy, look up here, buddy. Yeah, he'll look up at me. He'll look up at me. His birthday's in July, and he starts in January, I tell him. And I always go out to eat with him at a shack, some kind of place. We have a good meal together. He's my buddy. About 2 weeks ago, he said, I got you something. And he brought me a little old piece of cloth about that big. He said, I got this, preacher, for your glasses, keep them clean. You know, that might have been about as good a gift I ever had. You never know. One Sunday, I'll tell you this quickly. A few years ago, the bus people, the adults in that building, and the others, anyway, he comes in by here and sits down here. We'd already started the service. And there's a rail, you know, here and in a rail over here. Well, I noticed that people were standing singing and just stretching their neck. He'd already asked me to take an offering for him. He had to have some surgery or something. And what he done that day, he can't read and write, but he got somebody, and he had him a plastic gallon jug. Please help Billy. I've got to have some surgery. And he was pasting that thing over there. And I found out what it was all about after service. It had about $2 in it. And I had to get after him. I said, I love people like that, don't you? Yeah, I love people like you. We got another one. Been coming for years. And he's about 40 now. And you ask him, Henry, where are you going? He's up, 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 up. And everywhere you go, you ask him where he's going. I don't care where he's at. He's saved. He said, I'm going up, 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 up. Yes. I love the bus ministry. I tell you one thing, Lou. Your church will never get stiff and starchy. Yes, God, they'll keep it going. That one, some woman would come in for a while. She sat on the front row. She'd look at me, and I'd preach to her for half a dozen times. And all at once, I'm preaching one Sunday morning. She said, what's your name? I said, sit down, I'll tell you after a while. They just keep going. You got all kinds of good things like it. God loves them people. God loves them people. And I'm just saying this. I told Gospel Light years ago, I said, when this church gets to the place that every walk of life is not welcome, you can get you another pastor. That's right. I'm just saying, I didn't mean to get all on the bus ministry, but I'm just saying we need to see sinners. Sinners lost and on their way to hell. Get the Word of God in them. It'll never return, boy. Get the Word in them. I had a joy this past Sunday night. I was ordained in July of 1955. My home church is 3 miles from me. I remember when Gospel Light started, and that preacher, they had a little block building over there, and I attended. I'd go over to hear Mays Jackson. He'd have him, Harold Seitler. So I got to be friends. After 7 years, he went in evangelism, moved up in Tennessee, and then that's when they called me as pastor. But now, wait a minute. I can remember very well how that the people would come. And I could tell you story after story after story. This is what I want to tell you. I'm about to forget it. Right after I got ordained, they ordained me. I pastored a little church about 15 miles from home. Worked 10 hours a day, and I was enjoying it. Didn't have to work on Saturday over in the country, and I'd get out there and knock on doors. I got into some cottage prayer meetings. Y'all don't know what that is up here. You know, brother's name. And we got about 70, 75, had, I think 18 the first Sunday. And we got getting people saved, and we'd get in their home, have a prayer, get somebody an old guitar, couldn't carry a tune in the bucket, but they'd get up and play that thing, and then I'd preach and set me a chair out there for an altar. Man, folks got to getting saved. We was having a time. That's what I mean, a time. But right after I was ordained, before I was already, I wasn't ordained until I was going to be a pastor in that church. But this is what I started to say. I married a couple, a girl there in our church, sung in a trio, and she was marrying this very quiet fellow. And I married her. That's the first couple I ever married. And the pastor told me later, said, well, since he wouldn't say, and she is, he got to explain this on Oakley, you know, you shouldn't have done it and all that, but it's done. Okay, now, he was called. This man was called into the army, drafted in. And his wife, he was living more like a Christian than she was. She took off with some man. He was a very backward fella, clean living man. And anyway, he got out of service. He met this lady and married, and they've been married 52 years now, second wife. Now, let me tell you quickly. The woman he married, she plays the piano for a little Southern Baptist church about 12, 15 miles from me. I've tried to win him to the Lord. That's all through these years. It's got to be 58 years at least since I married him, and that's his first marriage. Anyway, I see his wife and him somewhere. She knew me as the second wife now, and she said, preacher, please pray. Billy's getting old, he's still not saved, never goes to church with me. This past Sunday night, I got up to preach after the song service, and the door opened, and it was that man and his wife, and they come and sit to my right. I was surprised to see them. Okay, after service, I gave an invitation. I stepped down to the front and had the folks bow their head, and I said, if you're here not saved, are you concerned enough to let me pray for him? He raised his hand. His wife, she's got her head bowed. I prayed. I asked the song leader, I said, you just go ahead. Everybody keep your head bowed and just keep praying. And I had him to start the song. That fellow standing there. I said, why don't you come on and get saved? Here he comes. He come down. I met him. He said, did you remember my first name? I said, I remember you well. You know, that was the first wedding I ever had. He said, I know it. I said, Billy, are you a sinner? He said, I am. I said, do you believe Jesus? He said, I do. I said, you going to be saved? He said, I'd like to. And I led him to Christ this past Sunday night. I like to come unglued. 58 years ago, 50 at least that long, I married him and been witnessing to him. But you know what his wife said? She wasn't dressed up, and I had her to come up to. And she said our church wasn't having service this past tonight. And said, he and I got out and just going to ride around a little bit. Said, he's never done nothing like this. And we was up the road a little way. He looked over at me, and she was driving. And he said, I want to go hear Bobby Robinson preach tonight. She said, what? I want to go hear Bobby Robinson preach tonight. And she said, that's why we came in late. He got saved. We had a hallelujah time after. I never shouted many times, but I almost come unglued then. 58 years ago, I married him, witnessing to him, and he got saved. And she told me Sunday night, she said, oh, if that little church down yonder had somebody to play the piano, I said, I'd like to come here. And I'm not going to proselyte him, but I might try to get him in our church. But he's got to be around 80 years old. God's word never returns void, my friend. And I'm saying, sinners are everywhere. And we need to do our very best. You know, if you go out yonder, Joe Myers, Leo, I was pastor of my home church. A few years ago, I had a telephone call one Monday. Lady asked me, she worked in Winston-Salem, she said. And she said, preacher, could I set up a woman to talk to you? And I said, well, yes, when? She said, I could be there in about 15, 20 minutes. Where I work, I can get off if you talk. I said, well, come on. This lady, about 35 years old, she walked in, sat down. And I said, ma'am, what? I thought it was some trouble in the home or something. And I said, what to do to help you? She put her hands up in her face and started crying. She said, just tell me how to get saved. Now listen, I won her to Christ. She had you're talking about a testimony. She died a while back. But oh, listen, 2 weeks before that, this Kerwin Baptist Church, where Brother Myers is pastor, the place that I got saved 65 years ago, it relocated in a new building. But anyway, she said, I went to that church with a friend of mine, and they put out a visitor card for visitors, and I signed it. 2 weeks ago, two women come and talked to me, and I didn't get saved, but they said some things I can't forget. And I got so I can't sleep. I couldn't sleep last night, and I really don't know that man, but I knew you, and said, a thought come to me, if you'll go out and talk to Bobby Robertson, he'll tell you how to get saved. And I told Brother Myers after that, I said, probably those ladies, if you came back after visitation, did you get well? No, didn't have much. Friend, any time you can give the word out. You see, they sowed. I got to do a little water, and God gave the increase. Now, let me say quickly, and I got to quit here. I'm taking this time. Keep your eyes on the Savior. Keep a look at self all the time. Keep looking on the sinner. And then, fourthly, always look at the source of victories in your life. Where did it come from? Now, this is what I'm thinking right quick here. You remember David watching his father's sheep? And you remember a bear came out? God's power came and he killed that bear and lion. Now, his brothers is over yonder in the battle, you know, and his dad sends them something to eat. And that old big giant, old Goliath, he comes out and curses God. And little old David said, what's all this about? His brother said, why don't you go on home? What are you doing out here? He was jealous. And David said, is there not a cause? Most all of you know that story. He said, that man can't talk about the living God like that. He goes to King Saul. And Saul said, well now, son, that man has been a man of war from his youth. You're still a young man. And he said, yeah, see, he's thinking of his victories. You know, he tried on that suit that the king put on. He said, I haven't tried this. But you remember when he went out there and faced him? Now, this is what I'm saying. I believe because of the victory God done gave him. You know, he told Saul, he said, a lion was going to kill the sheep. I killed him. The same one gives the power to kill the lion and the bear. You take care of that old boy out there. Friend, when me and you get depressed, think of the victories God's given to today. I just want some pity, but I must have been about 65, 6 years old. My wife and I was riding along one day. I don't remember what kind of battle, but we was going through something at the church that time. And I looked over at her, and I said, well, you know, I'm what you ain't say about the age of retirement. I said, honey, I don't know where I'm standing much more of this stuff or not. You know what she said? She called me daddy. She said, "Dad, you ought to be ashamed of talking like this. As much as God's brought you through, good night." And I began to think of a split 50 years ago. I began to think this and this and this and this. And I said, "Lord, would you please forgive me for even thinking about something like that?" Keep the source of victories. The same God give the victory there. He'll give the victory here. He's still got the same power. And I think if we'll remember those source of victories, it'll help us to keep moving on. And then I close with this fifth thing. Look for the second coming all the time. That's your five S's. You can preach on that, Darrell. You get them down. Look at the Savior every day. The Savior. Look at old self. Look at the sinner. And look at the source of victories. And I got so much I could say, but look for the second coming. He's coming. Praise God, I'm glad. He's coming. I don't know when. You don't either. But He said, "You occupy till I come." And to those who look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin to salvation. I was over my dad and mom's grave here a few months ago. They buried about 2 or 3 miles from where I'm pastoring. And nobody did the Lord, and I was over there, and I was looking at the grave, took some flowers or something. And I got the rapture on my mind. And I stood there. My old dad was a Baptist preacher. He loved God. Been gone years, and mom's been gone. And I looked at that grave, and preacher, I got the quote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. "The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God is going to sound. Then Christ's going to rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, are going to be caught up together with them." And Brother Smith, I had a little spell right there. I got to squalling and praising and I'm looking. And I said, "Jesus, if you'd step out up there and give that shout, mom and dads would come out of this grave, their bodies, a new glorified body. Mine would be changed and we'd shake hands and we'd meet you up yonder in the air." Boy, that'll encourage you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, use these things. Help me to practice what I preach. Help us all to realize looking the right way will give us victory. Bless our brothers as he comes to preach. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.